God founded this nation. It was His design. I mean, the diversity of everybody coming together. You got three people in one room, you got problems. You got a nation with a diversity of interests and needs and priorities and everything all coming together. That Constitution is one of the most amazing documents this world has ever seen. The only document that is more perfect than the Constitution of the United States is this right here. And a lot of that was adopted from the principles in the Bible. So if you have a problem with the Constitution, you don't have a problem with the Constitution, you have a problem with God. And I'm not going to apologize for it. I'm not going to go on an apology tour throughout the whole world apologizing for America.
Right?
Yes. Oh, dear. Oh. You guys awake? Come on. Come on, you are free people. You can gather. No government told me what I could and what I couldn't say here today. No government told you whether you could praise God publicly or not. Yeah. We are the only nation left in the world that we can't be arrested for doing what we're doing right now. Other nations will say, find me the person and I'll make up the crime. And I'll arrest them. Yeah, we don't want any of God stuff in here, man. Why? Because they are elitists and they don't want to be lowered down to where everybody else is, because the ground is level at the cross and it concludes that He is the Savior and they are in need of Him. And they don't want to be in need of anybody. Oh, I'm sorry. Did you want me to sugarcoat this and say, oh. No, sugar. Sugar. Oh, honey, honey. Open up your Bibles with me to 1 Timothy chapter 2. And that's right before 2 Timothy, in case you. 1 Timothy. I'm in one of those moods today. So it's going to come, it's going to happen today. But the name of part one of this series is called Faith for America. Our series is Faith, Freedom, or Faith, Family, and Freedom. You know, our faith liberates us to walk with God. Our family is blessed of God, our church family and our individual families. We have, you know, the family was designed by God for a reason. It was the most powerful institution in the world is the family. It was designed for the power of agreement. Right. It was also designed for the power of unity. These are principles in the Word of God that empower people. They don't diminish people. Our Constitution was made not to limit us, but to limit our government from ruling over us. And it was to empower us. It's a government for the people, by the people, and of the people. Amen? Well, those are biblical principles, because the power of binding and loosing is not with God. It's not in heaven. It's here in the earth. Whatever you bind on earth is bound in heaven. Whatever you bind, whatever you loose on earth is loosed in heaven. People say, how could God allow this? Well, let's look at it. Does He violate your will? Does He violate their will? No, He doesn't. But we have the power to bind the power of the enemy and to tread on serpents and scorpions. And if they attack us, we have every right to call upon God and say, God, help us work this thing out. Reconcile it. Reconcile my sisters. Reconcile my family members. You know, the spirit of reconciliation, by the way, I'll get into the message in a few minutes, but things are coming to me. The spirit of reconciliation is not just man and God. He's given to us the ministry of reconciliation. A lot of that reconciliation power is given to us to reconcile people, to bring us together to enjoy that power of agreement, that power of unity, and to bring us into a family relationship of trust. If you can't say amen, say oh. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1. We're talking about faith for America, how to pray for America, faith for America. You know, if you believe in somebody, you're not going to talk against them. If you're praying for somebody, you're not going to be against them, are you? You're going to be for them. 1 Timothy chapter 2, verse 1 says, I exhort, therefore, that first of all, everybody say first of all, before you get an opinion, before you get an attitude, before you get offended, before you anything, first of all, supplications, prayers, intercessions, and giving of thanks be made for all men, except the abortion people. All men. Except all the criminals that are rioting in the streets and murdering people. Did you know the thief on the cross was more than a thief on the cross? What did Jesus say to him? He's a human being. I'm dying for him. He died for the whole world. Give thanks for all men. There is such a wonderful diversity that we have in this world. A gift that we have to celebrate with each other. And we have an anointing to walk together. We need to employ. Be made for all men, for kings and for all that are in authority, that we may lead a quiet and peaceable life in all godliness and honesty. There's a lot of alls in this. For this is good and acceptable in the sight of God our Savior, who will have all men to be saved. Did you know it's God's will for everybody to be saved? It says so right here. That's his will. Is everybody saved? No. So we see that God's will is not an automatic thing here. That's why Jesus said that we are to pray that his will be done on earth as it is in heaven. Why would he say that if his will was automatically here, done here? It's not. People need to choose. Who will have all men to be saved and to come to the knowledge of the truth. You know, there are those who just wrestle with the truth, have a form of godliness, but deny its power and never come to the knowledge of the truth. We don't want to do that. If God said it, we believe it, that settles it. That's where we should start. That's the starting ground. For there is one God and one mediator between God and men, the man Jesus Christ, who gave himself a ransom for all, to be testified in due time, whereunto I am ordained a preacher and an apostle. I speak the truth in Christ and lie not, a teacher of the Gentiles in faith and verity. Verity means honest truth. Not just our perception of truth, but the honest truth. I will therefore that men pray everywhere, lifting up holy hands without wrath and doubting. I will that all men pray. Pray what? Supplications, prayers, giving of thanks, and intercessions. Now let me go into this a little bit. First of all, that phrase, first of all, means at the beginning. The implication is that this is our highest priority. And he starts it off by saying, I exhort you. This is the same word that the Apostle Paul used in Romans chapter 12, verse 2. When he says, verse 1, when he says, I beseech you. It means to implore. Actually, it's paracletos, and it means to come alongside and plead together with somebody. Do this. Do this. I implore you. I'll do it with you, in other words. Do this. And he says, do this first of all. Make this your highest priority. Don't go talking against people and expect God's best. Don't go ridiculing people. Look, you're no better than anybody else, and you have the capability of being just as deceived as anybody else. Yeah. You have that capability. That's why Jesus said, be not deceived. I beseech you, do this first. supplications. You know what the prayer of supplication is? It's a prayer where you take the word of God and you supply your request with the word. Find scriptures to back up your request and present that to God, asking him to fulfill his word. That's a supplication in its simplest form. Pray the word. If you read through Psalms, this is what David was doing. He was praying Deuteronomy. He was praying Exodus. He was praying all these things throughout the Psalms. So before your attitudes spring up, animosity, resentment, offense, anger, you want me to go on? We have a lot of them. Vengeance. I'm going to make you pay. Wanting others to get judgment. Retribution. They go, moi? Me? Oh, I don't feel those things. Do you have a flesh? You have a flesh. Then you're subject to these things too. Your flesh is. What does the Bible say to do? Crucify your flesh. That's about it. But it says this. You need to confront these things because it says, if in 1 John chapter 1, verse 7, it says, if we say that we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and the truth is not in us. Whoops, I'm sorry. If we walk in the light, what's the next verse, John? Verse 8, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, that's walking in. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves and what? The truth is not in us. We all have the propensity. We all have a flesh to deal with. And pride is very deceptive. Lust of the eyes, lust of the flesh, appetites that are wrong, that keep us snagged into a mental place with this world that captivates our thoughts and our emotions, and it happens faster than you can think. Keep your eye on Jesus. Walk in the light as he's in the light. We have fellowship one with another. And the blood of Jesus Christ cleanses us from all sin. If we say we have no sin, we deceive ourselves. You don't even have to worry about the devil deceiving you. If you say you have no sin, say, moi? Miss Piggy. Moi? Yeah, yaw. You got some work to do. I've got some work to do. I'm preaching myself today, too. Because it's so easy to get caught up in the world's narrative, especially with politics in this day and age. I mean, this is a very divided country. But you holding on to your point of view and shoving it down everybody's throat, that's not going to get anything done. You know, I got a call from Manny the other night. And you know that President Biden was up at McHenry County College. Manny is a cop up in McHenry. So he was on that detail and everything. He said, you know, one thing that really upset me was there was a lot of Trump people there, and they were the ones causing all of the problems. They were yelling and spitting. They were, you know, you can't, that's not your way. That's not the way to get your point across. Now, if you're a Trump person, I salute you, because I am not a left-wing person. I like the Constitution. Right. I like the Declaration of Independence. Mm-hmm. I like a government that is small and people being celebrated by the government, not enslaved to the government. Right. I like small government, big people. Yeah. The left likes. See, we just had July 4th. President Reagan said this one time. He said, July 4th, he says, all Republicans believe every day is July 4th.
Yeah.
And he said, all the Democrats do is they believe every day is April 15th.
That's funny.
He says, it's not that our liberal friends are stupid or anything like that. He said, there's just so much they know that isn't true. Turn the fingers back to you. There's a lot you don't know. You don't know the situation. You can't read into it. You don't know all the facts, all the hidden things. You don't know why a person is the way they are. But what we are called to do is love them. Yeah. regardless of what they believe. You were deceived once too. You were walking in darkness too. Don't forget where you came from and what it took to break through that that dark shell of a person that you were into and bring light into your soul. And the ultimate miracle of God is the new birth.
Amen.
To recreate the human spirit and to reproduce Jesus in you. You owe no man anything except what?
Love
with the same love that you were loved from heaven.
Yes.
You were forgiven. You need to forgive them the way you were forgiven.
Right.
You need to have mercy on them with the same mercy. Well, what if they take advantage of me? So what?
Yes.
You're doing what God said to do.
Yes.
And when you do what God said to do, you know what? You're setting yourself up for mercy.
Right.
When you give mercy, you will get mercy.
Yes.
I mean, I've been hurt. Too. I know what it's like. Whew. And I don't like it. And my flesh wants them to pay for it. But all the paying in the world is, you know what that does? That sets me up for judgment. Judge not that you also may not be judged. Blessed are the merciful, for they shall receive mercy. It's all there right in the world. It's very simple. Set yourself up for mercy by giving it. The same mercy, it would be hypocritical for you or me to withhold mercy from somebody when we have been forgiven of so much. That would be hypocritical. It's not honest. It's not right. Oh, yeah, same on. No, you need to, that's real stuff.
Yeah.
You know, you need to understand what's going on in heaven. You need to understand what's going on in the spirit realm, because there are demons following you around with a notepad, tape recorders and stuff. And they are building a case against you to bring judgment into your life. And all they need is your words of judging somebody and judging this and judging that and judging this. Are we all guilty? Yeah, me too. But thank God for repentance. You know, Job's friend, they came to comfort him, but stayed to judge him. And look what happened. The judgment, when Job repented, his judgment came on them. And God told Job, go pray for them. I'll hear your prayer because you repented. When you repent of these things, you get it right back. God doesn't waste a second. Boom. You're right in favor with him, and now you can pray for them. Are you getting anything out of this morning? You feel the finger of God coming a little bit?
Mm.
Well, he's doing it not to accuse you. He's doing it to liberate you. There is one accuser, and he will be cast down forever.
Amen.
Yeah. Be careful with that. Because all of those things oppose God. Animosity, resentment, offense, anger, bitterness. It stops God from moving in your life. It hinders your prayers. It hinders your relationships. It doesn't bring the oil, the anointment, the anointing that you need for fellowship and grace. Don't take those thoughts of resentment. Don't take, Jesus told us what thoughts to take and not to take. Take the thoughts that God said about you. How he loves you. Who you are in him. A son of the living God. You know, John the apostle, you can kind of see it's like, behold, what manner of love the Father has bestowed upon us that we should be called the sons of God. And it does not yet appear what we shall be, but we know that when we see him, we shall be like him. Read the word. See him in your heart. See him. Let it renew your mind. See him, because the more you see him in the Gospels and keep on reading and reading and reading, it's the tongue of a ready writer painting on your heart who he is. And when you find out who he is, you're going to find out who you are. Because you are his. The Son of the living God lives in you. Isn't that good?
Yeah.
You forget this stuff. But unforgiveness and offense, you need to get rid of that stuff. You know, remember we talked about scandalon, that word? That's the word for offense that the Bible uses. There was a fella that I get his daily things. And he wrote this. He said, you know, I saw this program on the Discovery Channel demonstrating how the natives of one particular culture caught monkeys. They eat them. They, you know, not particularly appetizing to me, but, you know, I'm not in that culture. He said, the natives would place a cage in the jungle containing a bait stick. And that's what the word scandalon means. It's a bait stick. And they'd place a bait stick that the monkeys desperately wanted. As the monkeys approached the cage, they saw the bait inside and reached through the bars of the cage to grab it. However, as long as their fists were gripped around the bait stick, they couldn't pull their hand out of the cage. Now listen to this. Although the animals could have been set free from the trap, they desired the bait so badly that they refused to let go of the stick, making their seizure effortless for the locals. Now listen to this. When the natives approached with their clubs, this is not a pleasant thing, but this isn't you, this is, it's going on. When natives approached with their clubs, the monkeys began jumping up and down and violently squealing till still unwilling to release the bait. They could have been set free at any time by simply letting go of the bait and pulling their hands free from the cage, but they wouldn't. The closer the natives came to the animals, the more fierce their shrieking became. Fully aware that death was imminent, they stubbornly refused to loose the counterfeit treasure. See, that's what offense does. Unforgiveness, it's counterfeit treasure. You think you're getting back at somebody. No, you're opening yourself up to the enemy. The predator simply approached and the monkey was killed. This is what offense does. These are what these things do. Animosity. Angst. Anger. Bitterness. You wrap your hand around that, and the devil can come up. He can come up. And if you continue to hold on to it, he will beat. He comes to what? Steal, kill, and destroy. If you're in unforgiveness about towards somebody, or you hold on to an offense, or if you want vengeance for somebody, that's bad stuff. Let go of it and go free. You're the one who has your freedom, your future in your hands to do that. Let go of it and say, Lord, as much as I want that, no, your flesh wants that. And Jesus said, nothing, your flesh can do nothing. John chapter 6, he said, the flesh produces nothing. He said, the words that I speak, they're spirit and they're life. If you do his word, you will receive, you'll walk in the laws of life, the laws of faith. But if you hold on to that bait stick, that's the bait of Satan. Okay, how did I get all of that out of this? Well, because God knows what's going on in the traffic of your heart and in your mind. And he's got some keys for you today to get to unloose some power on your behalf. So we're talking about this prayer. I exhort you, first of all, that prayers, intercession, giving of thanks be made for all men. Prayer changes things. But ultimately, prayer is designed first and foremost by God to change you. Yes, amen. Yes, prayer changes you. You need change. If you're holding on to a bait stick, they don't need change. You do. If you've got unforgiveness in your heart towards someone, they don't need to change. You do. Because no matter how they change, you're still you. And they could go ahead and change, and you'd still be mad at them. You're the pilot of your ship. Give the wheel to Jesus and let him do it. How do you do that? Forgive. Love. Regardless. But they kill babies. Yeah, they do. That's an injustice. And there is a time when God will settle all injustice and bring all accounts to bear. That's not your job. Your job is to do one thing. Jesus said, love one another as I've loved you, and owe no man anything except to love. It's been 2,000 years. Have we done that? Challenge yourself with this. When the church starts being the church of Jesus Christ, then we'll give something to the world. We'll have a standard that the world will flock to because they see something better than what they have. Better than the misery and torment of fear. Say this, I know his voice. I hear his voice. He leads me, and I follow him. I know his voice. I hear his voice. He leads me, and I follow him. You believe that? You should, because if you're his sheep, you do hear his voice, and you know his voice, and he leads you, and you follow me. He says, my sheep follow me, and the voice of a stranger they will not follow. You can't go to God and just say, okay. I mean, how would you like it if your kids came into your house, started breaking things, and say, the world treats me bad and everything, and they're having a temper tantrum? You going to respond to that? Or are you going to say, time out? No, you're not going to respond to that very well. Well, God, that's the way God sees you when you're holding on to these things. As his child, with all the rights and privileges of heaven, carrying on like that? What? You got to ask yourself why after a while. Let me ask you, do all of those things have any of those things worked at changing our nation one bit, or has it gotten worse? Okay, there's my challenge. You know, I almost want to start crying because I've been part of that too. Father, we repent of this. We give you the steering wheel. We take the rudder of our tongue and use it for your glory instead of dismantling and discrediting and judging and accusing and seeking vengeance on others that we don't agree with. And we know that when you're in control of these things, when we create these avenues for you to come in with your grace and blessing, that the light that they need will shine unto their hearts. Thank you, Father. We just rid ourselves of that now. We put it down. Thank you, Jesus. America doesn't need your attitude. They need your love. Our government doesn't need your attitude. They need your love. I'm telling you something. God is love. And when we love, the infinite abilities of God go into everything that we encounter, everything that we touch, everyone we speak to will change because we give him infinite roads of mercy and grace, empowerments. It doesn't care. It doesn't matter how they respond to it. What matters is, are you doing it? Are you a doer of the word or a forgetful hearer deceiving yourself? This is self-deception we're talking about here. I'll tell you, give you a little bit here of what happens when we pray. Turn to Revelation chapter 8. You know, Romans tells us that we don't know how to pray for it, what we should pray for as we ought, but the Spirit himself makes intercession for us with groanings that cannot be uttered in articulate speech, that says. Likewise, the Spirit helps our infirmity. He doesn't do it for us. He helps us. It's called praying in tongues. It's called praying in the Spirit. And in Revelation chapter 8, verse 3, it says, "And another angel came and stood by the altar having a golden censer. And there was given to him much incense that he should offer it with the prayers of all saints upon the golden altar which was before the throne. And the smoke of the incense, which came with the prayers of the saints, ascended up before God out of the angel's hands. And the angel took the censer and filled it with the fire of the altar and cast it into the earth. And there were voices and thunderings and lightnings and an earthquake." And an earthquake. So there's an angel by the altar of incense with an empty censer, which will be filled in a few moments. And there was also given to the angel much incense. That word is polus. It means abundance. It means plenteous. In other words, no matter how many prayers you pray, you can't outdo the amount of incense that your prayers will be offered with that incense for God to do what? Breathe the aroma of your prayers mixed with the incense of heaven. The aroma that God has chosen for himself to love and to breathe in and to become part of himself. Your prayers. Your prayers. He is the God of more than enough. And there's more than enough incense. There's more than enough anything. So this shows us what happens when we pray. The incense on the altar mingles with the prayers of the saints. God breathes in those prayers, which are now carrying heaven's scent. Supplications, prayers, giving of thanks, and intercessions go up. They're placed on the incense altar. We see a replica of that in the design of the temple on earth, to replicate what's going on in heaven, because God wants to give us that picture. And then God, it's before some, and God breathes in this beautiful aroma mixed with the airs of his saints. Now, we're created in the image of God. What happens when you inhale? The next step is to exhale, right? God's lungs, God's heart, God's spirit is filled with your prayers. It's filled with the prayers. With his breath, it becomes one with him, with his will. In verse 5, "And the angel took the censer and filled it with the fire of the altar and cast it into the earth." He what? He filled it with the fire of the altar that presented God, that fire that presented our prayers with the incense and presented it to God. And he took those things. Now, when God exhales, now those prayers have him, his own person, and his assignment on those prayers. And it says the angel cast that censer down into the earth to release God's assignment on your prayers. I beg of you, implore you, first of all, before you do anything, put your attitude down. Put your opinions down. Put all that away. Put it away. It doesn't belong to you. Don't take it out again. I implore you that first of all, make this your highest priority, because God's breathing it in. God's taking it off of that angel. This is being handled by angels. Now, when you do that, when that angel put that censer down into the earth and threw it down, just picture it exploding and giving assignments to angels on 5 continents just to answer your prayer. In the ocean, above the, around the ocean, on every continent. They're not limited by time and space like we are. When Lori fell that night back in March, yeah. I'm telling you something. When she fell, she kicked the bucket. She kicked that bucket of dirt over and fell flat on her back. And as she fell on that cement, you know what was there? The padding from that dirt. The angels were there before she even did it. Yeah. And they protected her with that. That could have been a life-altering fall for her. Let me just leave that there. It could have been. But God was, he's faster than light. The angels do his, it's like that. God says it, boom, it's done. Pray that his will be done in earth as it is in heaven. Boom, it's dispatched. That your prayers go up. And you know what? Even he knows what's in your heart. He knows the prayers that are in your heart too. The prayers of the heart, he looks on the heart. He treasures your heart. Even as your prayer goes up, even as you're falling, help me. He's there. Instantly. God's hand is not short. He is not insufficient for all of these things. He can work a miracle before you even need it. I told you about that last week, right? About when I was going to tell somebody off one time. Got a nasty phone call from a relative, and she was reaming me out for something I said at a funeral, altar call. Opening it up for salvation. She got mad at that. And she was on the other end just hollering and giving me what for. And I was just going to say, yeah. And I could tell she'd been drinking. So I was going to say, yeah, have another drink. I went, and God says, don't you dare magnify her sin. I didn't magnify yours. Don't you dare. And I went, okay. He's there before you even say it. He knows your thoughts. He knows where you're going. But here's the thing. He knows that and he loves you and he wants the very best for you. And he's there with a full supply. Prayers. Boom! You got to know this. When you're praying, the things that are activated in heaven on your behalf are innumerable. We have, this is Mount Zion. We've come to an innumerable company of angels. Oh, don't let that slip. Don't let it, let that out of your mind. Elisha was surrounded by all those angels. He said, open his eyes. And the Lord opened the servant's eyes, and he saw the hills filled with chariots of fire, ready to do whatever Elisha said to do. One more verse of scripture, and we'll go to Hebrews chapter 3. This is why it's so important that we speak what we believe, that we speak these prayers, that we speak not the problems, but the desired result. That we speak his word. And we have the capacity and the license and the authorization to speak his word. That's why he gave it to us. Hebrews chapter 3, verse 1. Says, therefore, holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling. That's us. You are a partaker of the heavenly calling. I don't want to make this into like a theological class, but that means a lot. You're partaker, consider this. The apostle and high priest of our profession, and that same word is translated confession other places. The high priest of our confession, Christ, the anointed Jesus. Here's what he's saying. Holy brethren, partakers of the heavenly calling, consider who? The apostle, what's an apostle? Apostle is a sent one. Consider the apostle and what? The high priest. We just read it, that there is one God and one mediator between God and man, that is the man Christ Jesus. Right? Amen. Wherefore, holy brethren, partake, consider the apostle, the one who was sent to be the high priest and mediate our words. When you speak the desired result that is in line with the word of God, when you speak his word of God, the promises of the word of God, the blessings in the word of God over your life, over your family, guess what? Now Jesus has something to work with. He can work with your words of faith. Faith in God. Faith in his promises. Faith in what, if you do what he says to do, you will be blessed in his deeds. It says in James chapter, whosoever does, if we're doers of the word, we shall be blessed in our deed. Look at this. Wherefore, holy brethren, God calls you holy, by the way. You're not holy because of your works on your best day. You are not holy. But that's his name, is Jehovah Makadesh. It means the God who makes you holy. He makes you holy. How does he do that? When you believe in the blood of Jesus. Amen. When you believe in that blood that was greater than anything you could ever do, that paid the full price for all of your misdeeds, all of the times you missed it, which means really missing the mark. Every time you miss the mark, that blood is there and it's greater than all of your faults. It's greater than your sins. It's greater than all of that. Put your faith in that blood.
Amen.
I think you get the point. Amen. You are a holy bro. Right, bro? Right? You're a holy brother. But look at this. Who are you a brother of? Oh, yeah. I'm Dwight's brother. I'm Victor's brother. Matt's brother. Paul's brother. We're brothers in Christ. But who's the ultimate brother that sticks close to you, that closer than a brother? And that's Jesus. And he is the apostle and high priest. Don't start speaking the problem. If you see darkness, don't say, man, it's dark out there. When you see darkness, say, light be! When you see shortage, say, abundance be. What do you think he was, you got the three loaves and fishes. I guarantee you, he didn't say, oh Lord, bless the hands that made this and bless it all to our bodies. No, he said, what did he do in the beginning? Be blessed and multiply. Be blessed, multiply. And he gave it to the disciples. And as they handed it out, it started to multiply. Sometimes if you have a shortage in your life, a shortage of patience, you got to say, patience, multiply now in the name of Jesus. He's the high priest of what you say. Yeah. Is this opening up a little wider for you?
Yeah,
it's a narrow door. But once you go through it, it opens up on the other side. Wide, rich, lush, green pastures and pure, still waters. This is the gospel. This is God and his word working on your behalf. So we've got a nation that's fallen apart. We need to do something about it. We need to start talking for it, not against it. We need to stop blaming and start loving. Give them something that's better than what they have. Amen. You promise?
Yeah.
Let's do it. Me too. I'm joining you with that too, because we're all in the same soup here. We're all part of the same family. And I don't want to see judgment come on anybody. Do you?
No.
I mean, look at what the devil is doing. I mean, if you hated the devil before the service, and you see what he's doing to try to get you into a place that he can nail, he is a sadistic monster. He loves killing people. He loves torturing and pain, giving people pain. He is beyond redemption. Don't act like him and come in agreement and start accusing people. Jesus died for them all. Let's start loving them.
Amen.
Touch them in love. There's love. We preach love here. And we preach faith. Father, in the name of Jesus, Lord, these words challenge me today. But it's good because I know that you're good. And I know that you have a future that's so much better than what I can muster up on my own. So I let go of it all, that bait stick, the bait of Satan that makes me pray for the enemy. Lord, I let go of all of that. Say this, I receive
the love of God
poured out in my spirit
through the Holy Spirit
who has been given to me. Thank you.
Thank you.
Thank you. Lord, you're so wonderful to me, and I want to be wonderful to others like you've been to me. I want to forgive others as you've forgiven me. I want to give mercy to others as you have given to me. I just take myself out of the equation, like those missionaries, the Eliots, who acted like the Apostle Paul, who already called himself dead to all he could want in this world. He had already died. He had nothing else to lose. He had everything to gain by walking with you. And we have nothing to gain by harboring ill will. Heal us. Heal our souls. Deliver us from the evils in our past. Deliver us from those things that we have felt in the past, that we had to massage and to, Lord, show us the deadly venom that's in all of that. Because you have lifted us far above all powers, principalities, mights, and you have seated us in the seat of authority with Christ, which we will not forfeit any longer. But Lord, we will run with you. We will walk with you and not faint. We'll run and not be weary. Because we have nothing but you, and you are strength. Our strength. In Jesus' name. You agree with that?
Yes.
Don't just leave it hovering here. Make it your truth. Make it your rescue. And make it a whole new life from this point forward. Will open up and give you the blessings that God intended for you. Amen. If you need prayer for any